What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
The manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Alex Cora is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Alex Cora, I don't even have pleasantries today. We got the news of the day. I got to ask you about Roman Anthony, what we saw last night. Do you have an update on Roman Anthony's status? Is he going on IL?
Yeah, he's going to IL. He has an oblique strain. Timetable, we don't know. He's a mother one, so usually takes from 4 to 6 weeks.
Just the impact, him not being in your lineup, clearly when he was brought up, he had a major impact, in, especially in that leadoff. What's he going to mean to not be in your lineup anymore?
He's one of our best offensive players, but it sounds harsh, but we have to move on, right? We've got to, put that uniform on today and try to win a game. And we've been through this before, right? Casas and, we traded Rafi. There's been a lot of stuff with this team, and we've been able to keep going. So I expect the group to do the same thing.
So if Roman is indeed out anywhere 2-4 weeks, who knows, would you slide Duran back into the leadoff spot? Is there somebody else perhaps? Because Roman seemed to just jive with being in the leadoff spot so well, letting the offense was rolling like that.
Yeah, today's a lefty, so Eden is going to lead off. Duran's hitting 6th or 7th because he's a lefty. But, most likely against righties, we'll get back to Duran leading off and Alex hitting 2nd.
We talked to you a lot about managing the clubhouse, whether it's the trade deadline or trades earlier in the season. How do you manage something like this? Because we're all human beings, and it sucks when you see a teammate that's really good and plays a really big role in our operation go down. How do you manage that?
Yeah, I think if you hear Alex's interview yesterday, this is part of the business, right? Now it's about going out there and winning games. Don't try to do too much, including him. We just had that conversation, me and Alex, so... like I said, we put ourselves in a great position, to fight for the division, win the division. So nothing's going to change. We're men down, but somebody's going to step up and come here and contribute. And, we're going to be okay.
Garrett Cochet doesn't have his best night. Doesn't have his best stuff last night. People, of course, are going to say, well, he's, hasn't worked this much in his career. Just your thoughts on his performance last night and going forward.
Yeah, a lot of pitches in the middle of the play. And they put good swings on it, that's going to happen. It happens to Scooble, it happens to him, and it happens to DeGrom. They're human. The cool thing about it is yesterday, he's been picking us up the whole season. We picked him up yesterday, and now he'll be ready. I think his next one is in Sacramento, if I'm not mistaken, but he's healthy. The stuff was good. He just made 4 mistakes, and they took advantage of it.
We have a team in Sacramento?
Yeah.
I know. But the ERA splits between when he pitches on 4 days rest versus 5 days rest seem semi-significant at this point. And as you're heading towards the postseason, I know nothing is given yet. It's got to be earned. Any further consideration to maybe seeing if you can find some extra rest for him along the way?
I think the next one, he gets an extra day. And then I don't know schedule-wise if we get like three more off days, but we'll stay the course like we've been doing the whole season.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora joining us here at Fenway Park and WEEI Afternoons. Let's go in a positive direction. We were here Friday in the studio. There was a buzz for Peyton Tolley's debut, and then he not only lived up to the buzz, maybe surpassed. He was better than even I expected. What'd you see from him? And I know a lot of you had said you didn't think the moment would be too big for him. It certainly wasn't.
Man, he showed up at the ballpark like around 1:30.
Was he sweaty then? Because he was sweaty on the mound.
No. But in the clubhouse, you know, I got a message from Chad Tracy, our AAA manager. Like, there's a guy that, you know, I played with Kevin Brown. Remember Kevin Brown?
Yep.
So Kevin Brown, you know, 4 days he was a great teammate. The fifth day he was, you know, he wasn't great, you know. You needed to stay away from him, don't talk to him, locked in. That's the total opposite of Tolley. He's a great guy, great sense of humor. He was very relaxed through the day. And, you know, at one point, we were talking about a rain delay. It didn't happen, you know. He came to the office like, hey, are we on time? I'm like, yeah, let's go. And he went out there like at 6:10 to just take a look at everything. You know, one of the things I tell these kids, you know, embrace this. You know, like, there's only one MLB debut, right? And you have to take advantage of it and just enjoy it. And he did, man. Like, that first inning was electric. I think the fans understood how important it was, not only for him, but for the organization, you know, what this kid represents. And, you know, the stuff was great. Obviously, you know, we got to be careful, you know, with the pitch count. I think the next one will be in the range of 85 to 90. You know, when he went out in the sixth, I thought about it. I'm like, man, we're pushing him. But he was so efficient that we got to go, you know, and just didn't happen. So, just paying attention to the innings, paying attention to the pitch count. Velocity went down a little bit, but nothing too big, right? And there's a presence. 6'5", 250 on that mound. You know, we got the beast, you know, and now we got that other beast, you know, and we're very happy with the performance.
Well, how about the beast? No-brainer to lock him up for another year. What your thoughts on getting a role?
The other one, I mean, it's amazing that at his age – what he's doing on the field is great, but the preparation, you know, is great. I've been telling you guys, you know, when you go on the road, you know, I usually go in the mornings for my morning run. He's already sweating, you know. He's coming back from the gym. And the guy, he's a great teammate. He's embraced this city. He loves it here. And, you know, credit to front office, man. You don't do that very often, you know. I mean, he's having a historic season. Usually they'll wait, you know, test the free agent market and see what happens, you know, and put pressure on us, you know, to make something happen in the winter. But he was very vocal about it, and I'm glad that we got it done.
As far as Peyton Tolley goes, again, looking toward October baseball potentially, what role could you see him possibly occupying? Like, because when that happened at that moment, you take him out, I think, at 80 or 81 pitches. I was thinking, you know, Weissert comes in, has a tough inning, a winnable game gets away. But I was thinking at the time, like, you know what? It's a 2-0 game in October. That's not Weissert that – you're starting to smile there, right there. Like, that's not Weissert that comes in. That's Peyton Tolley that comes in potentially.
You know, we still got work to do. And as you guys know, I'm not afraid to be aggressive with the relievers and the starters in October. Obviously, his situation is a little bit different because he's still a kid. But, you know, we're in the business of winning. And if he's in the bullpen, he's in the bullpen. If he's as a starter – he's a starter, but the guy is going to impact this, man. His fastball plays. You saw the swings. That's what I pay attention to.
He's energy. He's pure hot.
He loves it. And, you know, he's a great teammate. I told him the other day, now you can stay because his first three games, we were 0-3 since he got here. And then we won. I said, now you can stay with us, you know.
Willy or Abreu, it seems like it's been a little slower maybe than anybody had hoped or thought. Does that put a little more pressure on the outfield with now Roman Anthony going down? And is he close, Willier?
Not close. Feeling better, but the running part of it is the one that is taking longer than expected. He can take grounders, he can hit and do all that stuff. But, you know, when we get running, then the process is going to speed up. So hopefully we can accomplish that at the end of the week.
Nathaniel Lowe has been like a different player now that he's come here from Washington. What do you credit that to?
I mean, pennant race, Fenway, just an opportunity to reset your market probably, right? He was having a tough season over there. And, you know, another one from the front office, you know. We saw an opportunity to add a left-handed bat with experience. Been there, done that, right? A World Series champ, Gold Glover, Silver Slugger. The first day he took BP here, and this happened too with Kyle a few years ago, left-handed hitter that can pepper the ball the other way against the wall. It gives you an opportunity to make later decisions. You don't have to commit to certain areas. You can let the ball get deep, and you can drive it to left field. And then when you feel comfortable, then you start driving the ball. And he's been great for us. Very happy that, you know, he's performing. And we'll see what happens, man. But so far, very similar to Iglesias in 21. The only difference is, like, if we make it to October, this guy can play in October. Iggy wasn't able to do that.
So the news broke last Friday, right around lunchtime, I believe. We were here, but we didn't get a chance to talk to you about it, about Walker Buehler and the release. That must have been kind of tough. Can you just sort of like walk us through how that went down and how it feels now a few days removed?
Yeah, I mean, we try everything. He tried everything too. And I'm glad that he landed with the Phillies. You know, he's going to be okay. I think stuff-wise, we talked the whole season that we were getting close. The thing is the strike throwing, right? Like, he walked a lot of people. If you look back, there was an outing in Houston. He went 6 innings. They scored 4. We had 2 outs. We walk Caratini, and then Diaz hit a homer. If he doesn't walk Caratini and gets him out, it's 6 innings, 2 runs, and gaining confidence, right? Because he was coming from the San Diego one. He goes to Houston, pitches well, and I bet, you know, from there he was going to take off, but it didn't happen. Put him in the bullpen. Jazz hit a homer on a pitch down in the zone, similar to the pitch he hit out early in the season. And then we have to make decisions, you know, and he's a pro. He's a guy that I really respect, very, very smart kid, and I believe he's going to help the Phillies, you know, win a lot of games over there.
We've had some, even going back to last week, yesterday, some, I guess, erroneous reports, false reports with Kyle Harrison, where we were kind of led to believe he might be starting games. What's going on with him? What's going on with these reports? What's that all about?
Yeah, I mean, people coming to conclusions, you know, as far as like roster and all that. We're in good shape today, so we're going in a bullpen day, and then we have an off day tomorrow, and then we'll reassess the situation of our roster for Friday. But we feel like today we can go to Bernie. We got Matsy for 2, a lot of left-hander hitters for in that lineup, so we'll mix and match, knowing that May, it can go 3 innings today, and that's good for us. You know, we're going to use May in the bullpen today, and then he'll be back in the rotation next week, and we'll go from there.
Is Harrison healthy? Is he an option on the horizon?
He's always been an option. It just happens that today we felt like, you know what, this is the route we're going, because we can mix and match with them with the lefties that we have.
If there was ever a year that Trevor Story needed to have a career year, this would have been the year. This felt like just a lot of pressure that he was putting on himself, expectations, and he's having it. It looks like he's feeling it too. You know how he likes to kind of express himself. Just your thoughts on how Trevor Story's been playing.
Very proud of him. Very proud of him. You know how it is. Like last year, if he was another guy, he would rehab and go home, right? And he did everything possible to be part of the group, to be part of the team. And, you know, yeah, we were playing meaningful games in September. Not really. But he made a point that I have to finish healthy. I got to show these guys that this is what a professional athlete does. You know, you get paid, you have to play. And he played in September. It didn't go well. But the fact that he played, it was great. Had a great offseason. May was horrendous, but he's been very consistent since that road trip in to Milwaukee and Atlanta. Defensively, he's a plus-plus defender. Base running-wise, he's elite, and he's using the whole field too. You saw him yesterday shooting the ball to right center, and he's enjoying it. You know, he's been in the playoffs once with the Rockies. We talked about it the other day. We had breakfast. It was Alex, Roman, Trevor, and myself, and he was talking about that game in Wrigley Field against the Cubs. I think it was a 1-0 game, and he was going over every play and this and that, and he wants to get back, you know. And one thing for sure, and I tell you guys, yesterday, after the six innings, this place was very October-like. You know, it was very loud, people having fun, putting pressure on the opposition, and hopefully we can continue to play good baseball and make this place magical again.
I was watching with the family last night, and the energy in the household was October-like, yeah. Especially when it was you guys would go down 7-5, like, what happened to Crochet? But then the offense comes back, incredible eighth inning as well, and it was huge not having to use Chapman in the ninth.
Yeah. I mean, whenever we don't have to use him and we're winning games, that's good for us.
Yeah, absolutely. But as far as that energy goes, you know, when there is an injury, like, you know, even though he's a rookie, certainly going to play like one, who are you going to look to or who are you going to lean on to make sure at no point do people get down on the team or like, oh, if only Roman were here, like make sure that energy stays up where you've had it, what that pitch for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it started with the interview, right? I was very honest. It sounds harsh, like I said, but next, you know, we have to move on. We have to be ready. The guys in the clubhouse, they know that. You look at that green monster, you see the standings, you know, that's plenty of motivation to keep going, and we will.
Will Fleming, our buddy, mentioned something on the broadcast yesterday about you guys did some extra bunting recently.
And, yesterday.
And early in the year, we were talking a lot about fundamentals and young players and player development and all those things. And the more you win, the less we talk about those things. It's funny how that works. But the extra bunting, is that with an eye on situational playoff baseball? What was that all about?
No, it's an eye on September. And as an industry, not too many teams work on bunting, and then all of a sudden in September, there's a man on first and second in the eighth, and you want Connor Wong to get it down, but we don't practice it. And I told Ramon Vasquez, our bench coach, I say, hey, man, we're asking these guys to do something that we don't practice. We usually don't practice. We have to do it. We have to do it. And yesterday there were six or seven guys that we recognized that maybe we will ask them to do it. It's the three catchers, Jaron against lefties, Sudan, who else was out there? There was one more guy. And, you know, it's not that we're going to start playing small ball, but, you know, when we need it, we're going to do it. We won a game early in the month, you know, against Houston. You know, we put pressure on Framber. We bunted, we ran, we did a lot of good things fundamentally. So, you know, we just got to be better at that. And that, I take the blame for that. We haven't practiced, and now we will.
Sudan. I just, you know, you look at the night last night, what do you have, two hits, four RBIs, and a home run, and he plays center, he plays second. Is he the ultimate kind of Swiss Army knife for you?
He is. And I'm glad that he was able to smile yesterday. It's been a while. He's been struggling, but that was a huge swing yesterday, that homer. You know, they scored seven of our big guy, and he comes back, gets a hanging slider, hits it out of the ballpark, and the energy came back. So very, very proud of him. I still believe, you know, with time, the struggles in August, and hopefully he doesn't struggle in September, but physically he's going to be a lot stronger in the upcoming years. I'm not saying he's gaining 30 pounds in the offseason, but he's still playing at 165. It's very hard to play 162 in that weight, and, you know, he keeps trying, and he eats, and he doesn't gain it, and I feel sometimes, you know, the season wears on him. But like I told him the other day, man, it's September. We're right there. Don't think about anything else. Just win games. And yesterday he did an amazing job.
I won't walk into the whole, you know, we're going to trump you up for manager of the year, given everything that's gone through this year.
Oh, Jose Espada.
Yeah. Although I know when we asked you earlier this season what grade you'd give yourself, you jokingly said, I always give myself an A, bro, which was one of our favorite lines. But is there any consideration maybe to Christian Campbell rejoining the team at any point?
I think everybody's in play, you know, and obviously guys that are in the organization, they can, you know, if they get here, they can play in the playoffs. He's doing a better job offensively, controlling the strike zone. They still, it's still a few things that we want to see for him to keep getting better. Like we told him, you can hit 500 and probably you won't get back because you're not doing certain things, or you can be hitting 180 and you're doing the things that, you know, we feel like it's making you a better player, you might be back. So there's no rush. He's doing a better job. He's playing the outfield a lot, so we'll see what happens.
Before we let you go, you had one of those fun Fenway moments the other day, the Trevor Story home run replay, pesky pull, Mike Brenly, I guess a replay of one of your home runs. Like, that was kind of a crazy situation all the way around, right?
Yeah, so the night before, they usually show highlights of the pass in the third or fourth inning. And it was my only homer at Fenway. It was against Doc Holliday. And it was a fly ball to right field. And, you know, like it was like 375, you know, and Alexis Rios bobbled it like four times and the ball went out of the ballpark, right? And it was a homer and the guy saw it, you know, they were in the dugout like, oh shoot, you know, that was your only homer. I'm like, yeah. And then that happened and Trey was like, just like yours. But we're having fun, man. We're having a blast. I think, like I said, you know, when you come here and you feel dragging or you feel tired, you know, you go out there at 7:05 and the fans are here, they get you going. The city, you feel it, you know. The guys have been out there, restaurants and all that, and it's a lot different than the last 3 years, I'll tell you that.
All right, Alex, good luck tonight. We'll talk to you next week. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
Alex Cora, the manager of the Boston Red Sox here on WEEI Afternoons.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
The Red Sox front office report with Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. The Roman Anthony news yesterday was like a kick in the nuts.
Yeah, that was a tough one. You know, we have seen what Roman adds to our team in a really short amount of time. He's emerged as one of the best players in this league. But I think time and time again, the team has proven to be resilient in overcoming adversity. And this is going to be another challenge that we're going to have to figure out how to overcome.
You never know with injuries, obviously, but do you lean more toward the 4 weeks or the 6 weeks?
I think it makes sense to be optimistic. Certainly Roman and our medical staff are committed to doing everything that they can to get him back on the field. So, you know, we're going to hold out hope that he's going to be able to get back on the field and help us.
Craig, when it comes to an oblique, it's not something that you can just fix with surgery. So how hard is it to balance not rushing him back, but getting him back in a certain amount of time to help you guys while also not bringing him back too early where an oblique can get re-aggravated so quickly?
Yeah, that's the balance that we've got to figure out. We're all aware of what the timeline is in terms of the regular season and, you know, our ambitions for playing deep into the postseason. So we'll do everything we can to get him back out, but we have to do that responsibly, and make sure that we're not putting himself or the team in a worse position by trying to move this along too quickly.
Are there any analytics on recovery time that we could use over there?
Unfortunately, there are a lot of examples of oblique injuries. So, this isn't new to the sport, or I guess any rotational sport. But I think we're going to take this one on a case by case basis, and we're going to throw everything we can at it.
All right.
Speaking of analytics, what do your analytics tell you about Crochet with 4 or 5 days in between starts?
Yeah, you know. his performance has been a little bit better with the extra rest, but you balance that with some of the feedback you get from Garrett in talking about how, you know, the 4-day routine allows him to feel sharp. But we're mindful of the overall season workload and where he is relative to the number of innings he's thrown in years past. I think the way the schedule is set up is such that he's going to get an extra day, you know, the next couple turns through, and we'll try to balance these games being really, really meaningful with knowing how important he is to what we're trying to accomplish down the stretch and then potentially into the postseason. But most importantly, we've got to get there. So, you know, we'll continue to talk to him and monitor the workload.
And Craig, I know getting there is the biggest thing, and you've talked about winning the division. Obviously that's a goal of the organization. However, isn't it more important to get to the playoffs with a rested Crochet as opposed to winning the division but having Crochet not at his best?
I think it's a fair question. I'm not sure it's kind of as binary as that, right? Because having Crochet contribute you know, over the next few weeks is going to be a really important piece of helping us get into the postseason. But yeah, we've got other guys in the rotation as we've seen that are stepping up, and we'll get, you know, our second look at Peyton Tolley here tomorrow night. And so I think we're going to have some flexibility, and, you know, Alex and I are talking through this with the pitching group, with the rest of the office, and just making sure that we are flexible, giving ourselves as many options as possible to both win the games that we're playing each day and then also think a little bit more about the big picture. But I will go back to, none of this matters if we don't get into the postseason.
Craig, you talk about your rotation. Your top three guys look very good. Big Stash, I have high expectations for him.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Which nickname do you prefer so far when it comes to Peyton Tolley?
This is the first time I've heard Big Stash, but I really like that.
Okay,
we'll see if we can get some momentum with that.
Yeah.
Well, okay. What's your expectations for him? Because I think if he...
I prefer Magnum P.I.G. I also like Notorious P.I.G.
Okay.
But anyway, go ahead. Yes.
But the expectation for him, I think if he can solidify that fourth starter, I think you guys can really do some damage in the postseason. What are your expectations for him moving forward?
Yeah, I think we've got to be reasonable with you know, what the expectations are that we set for him, just given that, you know, this is his first professional season. But man, it was really easy to get excited about what we saw at Fenway last week when he was, you know, going pitch to pitch with Skeens. We've talked about there are some things that he can do that not too many people can, just in terms of that elite extension. And so the fastball plays way up. And so, you know, at 98, we saw it just be completely unhittable. But even at 94, 95, it's a really, really good pitch. So, you know, I think each time out, he's going to get a little bit more comfortable. We've managed his innings throughout the season so that if we got to this point, you know, he's able to go out there and compete and pitch into games. So I don't want to set any limitations to what we think he's capable of doing. And we'll figure out how to use him, you know, and as the best weapon we can over the next few weeks.
A few weeks ago, we asked you about any discussions with Aroldis Chapman, and you had said not much was going on there. And then we got the news about the new deal. What was the turnaround there?
Yeah, so that came together really quickly. And in order for that to happen, I think there are a few things that need to align, because most importantly, we don't want to go to a player or his agent and create a distraction, you know, in late August, early September, as we're trying to compete for a playoff berth. But Aroldis was very outspoken about how much he's enjoyed his time here, which I think is a testament to the fans, to the organization, to AC and Bales and the pitching group, and to his teammates. And so when we were able to engage with his agent Adam Kass from Wasserman, things were able to move pretty quickly because both sides recognized a chance to get to a deal.
Craig, Alex Bregman dealt with injury this season, but where do you, your assessment of him right now, where we stand going into September, then hopefully into October, where is he for this team so far?
Yeah, so physically, you know, he improves every time he's out on the field. We saw it the other night when he had a beat out, an infield single down the first baseline, right? He was he was setting a speed record, I think, relative to the pace at which he was getting down the line earlier. So I think he's just getting a little bit more comfortable strength coming back, and he's trusting the quad a little bit more now than he had. And I think he knows exactly what it means to be playing games that matter in September. There isn't a guy with more of a championship pedigree that you could want on your team. So we're very confident that he's going to be able to contribute on the field. And then off the field, he's just been so valuable. I've talked about that, you know, every time his name comes up, even when he wasn't on the field or maybe going through a little bit of a slump right now, it hasn't changed the way that he's helped others prepare, and try to be just an incredible resource and teammate to the rest of the guys.
Craig, we've seen a lot of younger guys this year come up and really be guys that have contributed to this big league team, and they've come up relatively quickly. Is this something that, you know, is going to be the new thing maybe in baseball moving forward, where, you know, these guys might not have to spend as much time in the minor leagues, especially if they're productive down there?
Yeah, I think that's a trend that will continue for a few reasons. One, I think players as amateurs, whether that's high school, college, they're used to more of a pro environment in terms of resources and, the things that matter and the things that are getting measured. And then I think the other side of that, so I think, you know, players are probably a little bit more advanced or kind of mature relative to the game. And then I think the other thing is what all this information does is it allows people in front offices to maybe better project or translate how a performance in the minor leagues might look in the big leagues without having to see a player perform at every level, right? So we look at, a batted ball and against certain type of competition, and we look at the swing, and we look at, you know, pitch movement and command and locations, and say, despite the fact that this guy has never pitched in the big leagues, we can compare this to the types of pitches that have been successful in the big leagues and feel like that's a favorable comparison.
Is there another position perhaps that Jordan Hicks could play?
I think we all see the stuff, right? And it's been a really tough go for him here, but he's committed to doing all of the work necessary to get back on track. And, you know, our pitching group is invested in him because we've seen him be a dominant reliever. And we've just got to get to that consistent execution that will enable him to do so.
Rough week for Jordans. So, Craig, I know we watched Moneyball and we all see the Billy Beane approach that playoffs are a crapshoot when it comes to analytics. Do you believe that as well, that in a short series – the numbers can be totally skewed and that it doesn't represent the true talent of the team?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable, because every analyst, everyone who will point to data will also talk about the sample size, right? And you need to get enough information for that to be representative of the bigger trend. And in, you know, a short series in a small amount of time, anything goes. And we've seen dominant starting pitching, can carry a team through the playoffs, a dominant bullpen, because bullpen, you know, relievers throw a disproportionate number of innings in the postseason. So, I do think that, you know, teams that make it deep into the postseason are often teams that kind of play well at the right time. And so that's why we're committed to doing everything we can to get to the postseason. And then at that point, let this team that has been so resilient and has risen to the challenge have the chance to do it again.
Craig Breslow, September baseball, very exciting around these parts this year. And we thank you for taking the time this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Okay. Back on track. His ERA is 8.
Yeah.
But maybe
I was going to ask.
Maybe back on track. Maybe. Craig's, I like the optimism. Guy. I love the optimism. Yeah.
I was going to ask him, what is it? Because he does throw gas. Like, he throws.
You've seen his stuff.
Yeah, he throws gas.
Healthy.
What is it that he just can't get it for whatever reason? I'd like to know. And does he tap into Chapman? Like, Chapman, you know, had some issues with, you know, the strike zone. And earlier in his career, does he tap into that? Like, what is it with Hicks? He throws 100 plus.
Yeah. Also, 774 texter says, you want to give Toley the Cam Newton deal after one start.
No. You need, we know what your top three starters look like. right? So, and we all talk about, oh, they could have got Joe Ryan. So if you got Big Stash who comes in there and goes, you know, duels it out with Paul Skeens, what's your expectations for that? If the kid has stuff and he can be your fourth starter, right, isn't he the expectations, like, we can really utilize this kid the remainder of the season and in the postseason?
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
Well, we're still to play your best Hill Notes. That's coming up on today's show. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Red Sox dropped their last one against the Guardians. 8-1 was the final, with Brennan Bernardino getting the start. One of five pitchers the Sox used. He exited the game after recording two outs in the first inning. He gave up a run, a one hit, and walked one. Now, when it comes to Roman Anthony, he has a strained left oblique. He's expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. But Craig Breslow seems optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, talking about his youth.
Yep, the training staff.
I mean, yeah.
So, I think he's going to be back. I think he'll be back for the postseason. Okay. That's like 3 weeks. He'll be good to go. He's younger. Maybe you knock 4 weeks. You knock off a week. You get in there. Get some roofing done. Get, you know, get somebody to work into that oblique.
You should go to that massage place that you love.
Which one?
Don't you go to a stretch place?
Oh, yeah. You can go to my guy, Stretch Boston. Get right in there.
Where's the ding chime? Oh, thank you.
Oh, what,
yeah.
I would do.
Yeah.
You get right, because that's what you're going to need.
Right.
The guy's off tonight before heading to Arizona to take on the Diamondbacks for a three-game series tomorrow. Wednesday's injury report came out as the Pats get ready for week one against the Raiders on Sunday. Kickoff is at 1 p.m. Three players appear on the report: Efton Chisholm, Charles Woods, and Christian Gonzalez. They practice today at 1:30. And the NFL season officially gets underway tonight as the Cowboys are in Philly to take on the Eagles. 8:20 kickoff for that. And that was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Now at Shaw's and Star Market, save on soda. Buy two, get two free on 12-pack cases of Coca-Cola and Sprite. That's 12-ounce cans. Buy two, get two free. Lowest priced item is free. Short on time, order, pickup, or delivery. Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. That's what's trending. We've got your Hill Notes up next.
Bad vibes all around last night at Fenway.
Right off the rip.
They didn't wait around.
No, you didn't get to settle into that one. That's terrible.
You get the news of the day, right? Look, yesterday afternoon, Alex Cora walks into the afternoon show. Roman Anthony out for the season, basically, is what he says. And you're like, all right. Starting with an opener, which I never loved. And I know they've won some games that way, yep. But I never loved that. So you have Brennan Bernardino, starting pitcher. Nate Eaton, leadoff hitter. You're like, what is this? What is this?
They're eating L's, is what they're doing.
They're eating L's. Yeah. They're going for a sweep, and you can hear it in Will Fleming's voice.
Yeah,
like, this was a mess.
It horrible. I half respect the Red Sox for just getting it all out of the way early. Like, yeah. Anthony news right away from Cora yesterday, yeah. Yeah. On EEI afternoons.
Here comes Jordan Hicks in the first inning,
inning or two. You're like, hey, catch up on your TV. Clean out the DVR in advance of football tonight, which gets going, but we're talking baseball here. It's never boring with Rob Bradford, WEEI. He's brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Bradford, what's up?
McFarland, yes. It's good to talk to you guys once again, and I feel fully responsible for this last couple days because I hit publish on a story after Monday's game, and it said life is good for the Red Sox.
Good boy. Yeah, that's on you.
Which it was. Yeah, it was.
It was.
It was. Yeah. Until it wasn't.
Well, yeah. It's it wasn't. It's a Stephon Diggs level apology, which we appreciate.
Oh, well. Rob.
Let's start with the news of the day yesterday. Roman Anthony out 4 to 6 weeks, oblique strain. Cora confirmed it. He told Anthony to visualize or envision playing in game one of the ALCS. Are we going to see Roman Anthony again this year?
Well, here's the thing. If Alex Cora tore that to Tristan Cassis, he would literally be sitting in a dark room for the next month and visualizing it, right? which is a great scene. But I think that there's no dancing around this. If you had to say, and I'll ask you guys, if you had to say the two most important players on the Red Sox, or two of the three, you would have to say Crochet and Anthony. And coming off of that game where Anthony hurt his oblique, you know, Crochet had the bad game. Anthony hurts himself. and you're just holding your breath that Aroldis Chapman does something doesn't happen to him. Those are the big three. So I don't, I'm not, they don't run isolations for outfielders in baseball, fortunately for the Red Sox, and you still can win with an injury. But boy, man, like this not diminish how important this is.
I was going to say, Cora kind of compared it to losing Tristan Casas and then the trade of Rafael Devers, which I understand what he's doing, but Casas, they never really got out of the starting blocks. And then Devers, the team was struggling at the time. Like, since Roman Anthony's been up, they've been one of the best teams in baseball. So I feel like it's not exactly apples to apples here. Like, this is a far more significant loss.
Yeah, well, let's take the Devers comparison. The reason that worked was because you had Roman Anthony to fit. I mean, one of the things was it fit right. You had the next level of things. This is the reason you did it, was because you said, if we trade this guy, these guys are going to be able to play more. We are going to juggle the roster and the lineup a lot better. And that's just simply not the case. I mean, you're scrambling now. Like, where before you found Roman Anthony not only as a productive guy along the lines of what Devers would be, but also the leadoff hitter, which allowed Jaron Duran to go the number three spot, which he seemed to be more comfortable at. And now you have to juggle all things around. And it's not even, you know, we are not even talking about the fact is that you're taking out Willy Abreu and Roman Anthony. You're taking out these two really, really good offensive players, by the way, who both hit from the left side. So you do not have replacements for Roman Anthony or really Willy Abreu right now.
Yeah, Abreu also doesn't sound close. No. I don't know if it's the same time frame as Anthony, but he also doesn't sound close. How do they replace Roman Anthony? I realize the answer is they don't singularly. They have options in Worcester. The password has been up before. Christian Campbell obviously started the year up here. Are those guys options, or are they going to try to piece it together with Sogard, Eaton, pieces like that?
I think in the short term, they're going to piece it together, but the problem, I'll come back to it, they don't hit from the right side of the plate. You know, this is being the right
meaning
side
the
being
proper
the left
side.
Side.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
Right. I mean, that's a very real thing, especially when you don't have Abreu. So how they fix this, well, I think that, you know, it'd be interesting to see if they bump Duran back up to the top of the order, which they obviously didn't. But I think they can get by. I mean, let's not – I keep saying they don't run isolations for outfielders, but they don't. I mean, this is baseball. This isn't like losing Tatum, right? This is how this works. You can function. But the problem is that you need everybody to step up. Much like when Bregman got hurt, right? You need other guys to step up and be the best version of themselves. Now, Romy Gonzalez has been a ton better lately. Trevor Story has been good. You know, but you need Bregman to step up, and you can say, and he can say, oh, everyone just has to keep doing what they're doing. Actually, no. I mean, you have to actually be a little bit better when it counts the most, because this is, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road, man. Like, you have, if you want to win the division, you got Toronto coming up. And when that comes around the order, it's not going to be like it was the other night every time, where Nate Eaton comes up and you get the production that you get from Roman Anthony. You're going to have Roman Anthony's spot come up in the order, and you're not going to get that production more times than not.
They have a 6-game lead over the Rangers right now. So they don't get an injury excuse. Like, if they miss the playoffs, even with Roman Anthony missing the last month of the season, that would be a huge collapse and a failure, right?
Yeah. I'm not going to say, because, again, I just said life is good, so I'm not going to say that.
True.
It's not going to happen, but this is about, they want to get the division. That's still somewhat realistic. Most importantly, you want to get home field. You want to be able to play these games at home. But I think that when it comes down to what the Red Sox, how they're going to be able to function, and if they're going to be able to keep the vibes in their corner, it will be pitching. It won't be Roman Anthony. It will be pitching. Like, this, every streak that they've gone on has been led by their pitching. You can't have downturns from Crochet. You can't have downturns from Bayo and Giolito. You have to have the feel-good story of Peyton Tolley keep on going. You cannot have a downturn in terms of relievers. You have to figure out Jordan Hicks isn't an option, so you have to figure out who is an option. You have to figure out all of it. Like, the pitching is everything for this team and for this run.
We'll get to the pitching in a moment, I'm sure, but Real quick, the Twitch chat is caterwauling about it. You mentioned they don't have enough left-handed hitters. So the obvious person to look at would be Rafi Devers. I don't miss him. Keith doesn't miss him. I guess I don't know if you miss him or not, Brad Foat. Do the Red Sox miss Rafael Devers?
No. No, and Rafael Devers, you know, I know that he had the terrible streak, which is well-documented on the show. You guys do an expert job of monitoring the ebbs and the flows. And by the way, Rafael Devers did teach me one thing, that you don't have to go all the way around the bases after hitting a home run, that you can just veer off and fight somebody. Oh. So
I thought it was going to be a second slice of cheese on that burger.
Yeah. So, and he's been good. And by the way, the Giants all of a sudden are like somewhat back in the playoff consideration.
Yeah.
But kind of. But it's – no, I mean, this – you know, this dig in on this. I mean, they are – what Craig Breslow said, which we all mocked, which was, hey, you're going to win more games doing it this way than the other way, the way that we were doing. And they have. Like, can we quantify that exactly? I don't know. But all I know is that since then, go through all the offensive numbers, go through the record and all of it, they've been better. So that is what it is when it comes to this team. So we can't, like, play second guess about, oh, well, what if you have Rafael Devers? Because the other part about that with Rafael Devers sticking around is, I know that people don't want to hear this, but Roman Anthony probably doesn't do what he's doing, because like, you're picking your spots when he's playing. You're picking your spots when other guys are playing. One of the things it did was free up and give these guys a chance who took advantage of the chance. So, yeah, okay, right now, would you like to have Rafael Devers bat? Sure. A bat like Rafael Devers? Sure. But that's not, A, isn't realistic, and B, really, like, it shouldn't even be part of the conversation.
All right, what's your take on Garrett Crochet coming off his worst start, maybe of his career? This is also his first real full season of Major League Baseball, so far and away a career high in innings. The stats are out there about on normal rest versus an extra day, how much better he is with that extra day. How should they use Crochet the rest of this month?
You got to be careful. You know, if you have to make sure you build in at least that extra day of rest or that fifth day of rest. You have to do it. And you can't, and I know that looking for the division, and I know that he'll say he's fine, but the reality is the reality. He's living in a world that he's never lived in before. And off of what you saw last time out, I don't think he's that guy. I think Mike's like the other times that he's had a downturn, he'll bounce back. But you're going to end up with a crazy amount of innings for him. And by the way, if you actually want to do anything, we've talked about this before. The reality of baseball for baseball starters is that you're going to add on 20 to 25 innings if you have a legitimate any kind of postseason run. So you got to do what you got to do. The problem for them is that they don't have a lot of luxury items in that rotation. There isn't the Kyle Harrisons right now. There isn't the Dustin May. There isn't, you know, some of these Richard Fitz. They don't have that. They don't have the freedom, oh my goodness, we have too many starters. What are we going to do with them? So you got to find a way to do it, because he is. That's your meal ticket right there.
Maybe you just answered this, but should they make the playoffs? And I know it's just one start for Peyton Tolley, Magnum PIG, or Big Stash. Is that what Wiggy's trying to get going?
I love Peyton Tolley.
Yeah, I didn't hate.
You guys hit it. You guys hit the. You hit it right on the head. I mean, the Magnum PIG. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves after one start. But let's say they get to the playoffs. I'm sure they're trying to figure out how he fits in on a postseason roster. Where does he fit? Is he a starter? Is he a high leverage reliever? What's his fit? Should they get to October?
They said they aren't. Alex Cora said they aren't worried about his workload. That he's on target and that, you know, they aren't going to draw back on his innings, because that's what you see a lot of times, guys fresh off colleges or the minor leagues. But they said they aren't going to draw back. But, you know, the fact is that you have pitched more than you ever have. And right now it seems like they're going to keep him as a starter. And maybe they just say, let's just hope for the best. Let's just hope he can handle it. He's a big guy. Sure, let's ride him out. But if nothing else, we've said it all along, he's David Price circa 2008. Like, for me, that plays. Fastball, here it comes, right down the middle. Try to hit it. We saw that 80% of the time in his first start. So he's obviously part of the solution, but I think that for the Red Sox, where they're at right now, I think they could say what they want about not being concerned, but I don't think they have any other options. they need this guy in the starting rotation. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it. By the way, I love talking with this kid. And, like, you guys – and he got a taste of it after that first game.
Yeah.
Like, what personality? I asked him yesterday about the hotel, what's the nicest hotel he's ever stayed in. And, you know, because, listen, he's about to go to the Phoenician, which is – oh, my goodness, let me tell you.
Okay.
I said, if you're going to start knowing – it's a nice hotel when they leave slippers by your bed every time they turn down the bed.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, that's big league.
Slippers.
But he's like, the Tollies aren't really used to nice hotels. I'm like, what do you have, Red Roofie and Elite status? I mean, like, but I just, like, it's like the Campbell thing all over again. Wait, we don't have to share a room? Wait, we get to fly on a plane with alcohol on it? Like, what? What's going on?
It is amazing, though, that you're starting the year with Campbell up and us waiting for Meyer and Anthony. And for different reasons, all three of those guys aren't a part of the team now, and yet we're all aboard the Peyton Tolley Express. Like, everybody loves this guy. He's great. Last time we talked to you, Rob, they had not extended Aroldis Chapman yet. Having maybe his best season of his entire career, he is in his late 30s. What was your takeaway from the extension, and why get it done now?
Yeah, I asked him at the All-Star game, are you talking about a contract extension? He said, no, we have zero talks. And obviously, that was my first question at the press conference. So, like, okay, when did that change?
Yeah.
And he said a couple of weeks ago. I guess you give the Red Sox credit because I think it falls under, you never know unless you ask. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they say yes. Because if you're Aroldis Chapman, you can't tell me he's not getting a three-year deal. I don't care how old he is. He could get a three-year deal, but he decided, hey, this is where I want. You hit the sweet spot of a guy. It's the same thing with these other extensions. If a guy likes where he is and he isn't worried too much about the money or the years, then fine, we'll take it. But I think it was a huge, huge thing because you don't want to be chasing closers, especially with the fact is that he can take a little bit of a downturn. He's still going to be awesome, right? He's still going to be really, really good. He's still going to be a closer. So, yeah, I think it's another check our feather in a Breslow's cap.
He is the extension maven. I think he should just be the chief extension officer.
That's a good title.
But don't do trades. Have somebody else do your trades. You're awful at trades.
The CEO of the Red Sox. Maybe
knock it off with trades.
Maybe Kennedy would have an issue with that, the CEO of the Red Sox.
He has. I mean, his offseason was insanely good, right?
It was great, but it was – well, I guess he did trade for Crochet, so yeah, you're right. I'll give him that. But in-season trades, trash.
Yeah, Matt's is good. Yeah,
Matt's been good.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Please. I'm talking about Matt's. He's fine. Yeah. Oh, good. He's fine. What about Jordan Hicks?
Well, that one's...
That has not been good.
What about Danny Jansen?
What about trading away Devers?
Luis Garcia.
We like Devers off the team.
Can I ask you guys a question about, speaking of the younger players? Because I value you guys' opinion about so many things.
Then you may.
So now I have two of the top Red Sox prospects both saying they don't know who Pearl Jam is.
Oh, so I was just going to bring this up, yeah. Brad Foe. You talked to Marcelo Meyer on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. I was just going to bring this up.
He might just be messing with you, though.
Yeah, maybe.
No. He definitely was not. He was definitely not.
Does not know Pearl Jam.
Yikes. No. Yeah. And I like talking to Marcelo because he's just the right amount of cocky. You guys know him well.
Yeah, good friend of the show. Yeah, one of our best friends.
Of the show.
Yeah.
And I said at the end of the interview, after we talked about his lack of knowledge of Pearl Jam and everything else, I said, okay, you get one question for me. He looks at me. He's like, who dresses you?
That's a good question. Maybe the hardest hitting question of the day.
That is a great question. Wow.
I feel like I'm bringing generations together every time I talk to that kid.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Like
all right. We'll check out the latest from Brad Foe, Baseball Isn't Boring podcast with Marcelo Meyer. Follow him on Twitter at Brad Foe. Rob, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you later.
All right, Rob Bradford with all the latest there on the Red Sox. I agree with him. Score one for Craig Breslow, big time, when it comes
good extension.
To
another good
the extension for the chief extension officer. That's what you're calling him over there?
Yeah, I do like that.
Okay.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Yeah, he's going to IL. He has an oblique strain. Timetable, we don't know. He's a mother one, so usually takes from 4 to 6 weeks.
I was Alex Cora yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. Early on in the show, breaking the news that Roman Anthony does indeed have an oblique strain and will be out 4 to 6 weeks, which sounds like, and Anthony sort of confirmed this in a later interview, that he did in a scrum at Fenway Park, that it sounds like it's a grade 2 oblique strain. He wasn't 100% sure on the grade, but he said he thought it was a grade 2.
The regular season's over, and then it's...
Oh, regular season is over. It's done.
Then if you... Like, how far are you going into the playoffs? And then even then, what has he been doing? Like, is he ready to go? You're like, hey, it's the ALDS game 5. Like, you're in there, Roman. Like, I think he's just done.
So, the whole thing has been a disaster.
I would agree with Heyman.
The Red Sox were 32-35 before Roman Anthony came up.
Yeah.
So let's say they're playing 500-ish baseball down the stretch without him. That should be enough to make the playoffs. Although all the Rafael Devers truthers out there will say at least they had Devers then.
Yeah. Yeah, no Willie Abreu, no Roman Anthony. I mean, you are losing a lot of pop.
So he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. 4 weeks would be game 2 of the wild card round. You're shaking your head.
No, I'm shaking my head like you're not going to see him this year, even if the team does well.
6 weeks would be game 3 of the ALCS. Cora, after his interview with WEEI Afternoons, addressed the full media. He said to Roman Anthony to visualize or envision. I forget the exact word he used.
Vision board.
Game 1 of the ALCS. That's what Cora said.
Oh, yeah. So they got to get there. And I think,
so you got to win the wild card round, the divisional round, and then hope
the ALCS.
He's ready to go in game 1 of the ALCS.
Yeah, you're going to need some kind of magic to pull that off, right? Like, I think that they still make the playoffs without Roman Anthony.
Me too.
And I'm still of the mindset.
I'm feeling worse today than yesterday, though.
Oh, yesterday.
Based on the way they
best.
Played last night.
Oh, my God.
Just bad vibes city all
first
around.
Inning, here comes Jordan Hicks.
Like, he's still your guy?
Shut it off. No, Nick, he hasn't been my guy weeks.
You claimed the pre-year.
Remember how much Keith loved him? He's a bum.
Jordan Hicks.
Jordan Hicks is awful.
Yeah.
He does throw gas, though. Like, there's something about the gas.
He throws heat.
Those heaters.
Just right over the middle of the plate.
100 miles an hour down the pipe.
Since we're here, Carrabba's had great numbers on Hicks.
On Hicks?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's he got?
Anderson Hicks. They both suck.
No, that is true.
Was that Justin in D.C.? Nailed it.
Yeah, yeah.
Since July 1st, 122 relievers have made at least 20 appearances. Here's where Hicks ranks.
At 122.
Yeah. Seven!
No, lower.
Maybe from the bottom.
Way lower.
In ERA, he's 120th.
He's 120th?
Yeah.
There's two worse relievers than him?
How could those guys be?
It's probably your guy, Alcala.
It might be. In whip, 121.
Okay, so he's not the worst whip.
Nope.
Interesting.
In FIP.
Careful.
120.
Okay.
K's per nine. So this is amazing. He has incredible stuff.
Yeah.
K's per nine, he's 103.
He doesn't punch guys out like he should.
Hits per nine, 121. Mm. Opponent batting average against, 122. Opponent OPS, 121.
He's awful. He's atrocious.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
He's so bad. And I think they owe
him. I knew he's been bad. I didn't realize. I mean, he's legitimately been just about the worst reliever in baseball.
And they got out of the Devers contract. They're all very excited about that. But this guy, I think, is under contract for 2 more years at $25 million total.
He unfortunately makes some money.
For like next year and the year after, I think.
Yeah, don't love it.
Yeah, he is so bad. So you can't even use him. But seeing him. So you have Bernardino start. He can't start Kyle Harrison because apparently. Although, I think he's not hurt.
Did he have a setback? I don't even know.
It's back and forth.
Between the Diggs apology, fake apology, and then the Harrison, maybe he's hurt, maybe he's not. I'm confused about the whole thing.
But didn't Cora tell the afternoon show that he's like, yeah, Harrison's like always been available.
Fine.
Yeah, basically like he's available. We just haven't gone to him. So your opener can't get out of the first inning. And then Jordan Hicks comes in.
Owe Jordan Hicks $12.5 million for the next 2 years.
Yeah, $25 million.
Yeah, not total. Each.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Not great.
Yeah, so Steven Matz, I think, makes that same amount of money. And he's a rental, though. But, like, that's the kind of... They all make more money than Chapman.
Yeah. Matz was bad yesterday, but Matz has been good.
No, but it just sort of added to the point. It was a game that Harrison probably should have started, can't, or doesn't, or they don't want him to. And then you see Hicks, and then you see Matz. So it's all, like, the trade deadline. It's the trade deadline all in one outing for Craig Breslow. So even though some of the extensions have been great and the offseason was great.
Are you back off the Breslow train over there?
I wasn't on the train. I was admiring it from afar. I was like, hey, nice offseason. Terrible trade deadline.
I like your idea of...
And now Roman Anthony, you had him bailing you out because you weren't relying on this year.
No, I like your theory of Breslow gets to do everything but the trade deadline next year.
Yeah, you're our extension guy.
Yeah.
You're our chief extension officer.
You bring in a trade deadline closer.
Yes.
You go to the bullpen and bring in a trade deadline closer.
Like a Dave Dombrowski type.
Just for a week.
Somebody that worked with Dombrowski who knows how to make trades.
Yeah. He freelances for a week with the Red Sox leading into the trade deadline. I like that idea.
That's all it is. But no, I think they're still a playoff team, and I still subscribe to the you make the playoffs, you have a chance in baseball, but your chances just went down significantly because Roman Anthony was so freaking good.
Yep.
He was a part of, like, every time the offense was doing something, it seemed like he either drew a walk and got on base and Bregman knocked him in, or he's socking dingers off of Paul Skeens. Like, the guy was electric, and he was one of the reasons to watch and listen to the team. And now, without him, that stinks.
Twitch chat says the Devers trade is worse than Mookie. That's insanity. Well, he's not anywhere near as good as Mookie.
Yeah, but you could say the return might be worse because at least Connor Wong's still on the team and Verdugo.
Connor Wong fixed Aroldis Chapman, apparently.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say, and that is exactly, in fairness, what was written in the Twitch chat. The return is worse. You can say yes and no. It's about what you're subtracting. Like, Devers needed to be off the team. Betts never needed to be off the team.
No. And Betts is a far better player, and I'd rather, I'm not reliving that. I'm just saying, like, they're both historically horrible returns, and the players you got for Devers might be worse than the players you got for Betts, who we already thought were just a disaster.
Yeah, I hated Verdugo.
Actually, you thought Devers was hurting the team. The return is actually hurting the team worse than Devers was.
Oh, I don't know about that.
No, they would have been
Jordan Hicks coming into games and losing games.
Their record with Hicks is way better than it was with Devers.
No, but they should have just cut Devers is the point.
Yes.
Like, what you got back.
Positive if they just cut him.
Yeah.
Because basically,
just release him.
Random player would have been better than Hicks. Mm. Based on those numbers, unless you had the one guy that's worse than him, we got to find out who that guy is. Kyle Bearcroft
on the Red Sox.
I don't know how to do that. We'll have to reach out to Carrabas.
Right.
By the way, Cora was asked yesterday on EEI Afternoons how on earth you replace Roman Anthony. Here was his answer.
Well, he's one of our best offensive players, but it sounds harsh, but we have to move on, right? We've got to, put that uniform on today and try to win a game. And we've been through this before, right? Casas and, we traded Rafi. There's been a lot of stuff with this team, and we've been able to keep going. So I expect the group to do the same thing.
Okay.
I appreciate the mindset, but I would say those other two aren't really comparable.
Well, Devers, and as much as I'll trash Devers, that's a lot closer than Tristan Casas.
Casas, like, please.
Tristan
Casas didn't think the young guys should be on the team.
Correct.
And look at how good those guys are. So he was wrong about he also thought Bregman should be at second. So let's forget about Casas. I don't think the players gave one crap that he was done.
No, that's
and
another
you
one.
Have Nathaniel Lowe.
Yeah, that's another one that was addition by subtraction.
I think Devers was pretty surprising. We can ask Hunter Henry how surprising it was. But I think that was for the players. But remember, like, Jaren Duran was like, yeah, that was crazy. I fell asleep.
Yeah.
Like, remember, like, no, he's one of 26, he said. So Roman Anthony, there's just sort of a different kind of, for lack of a better word, kind of vibe around him. Mm-hmm. And the team's winning so much with him, and he's like the leadoff hitter and all this stuff. And so then you take him out, and now, all due respect, because I think he had a nice little RBI yesterday, but they got, like, Nate Eaton leading off. And you're like, wait, what? So you went from having, like, two...
It was a lefty. It was a lefty on there.
No,
so
I understand.
You got to get Nate Eaton.
I understand. But it's like you have too many guys to start at one point, right? You're like, you have, like, good players coming off the bench, and now it's like, Nate Eaton's your leadoff hitter? That's tough.
Not
to pile on him, but it's just like you go from Roman Anthony to him, that's a big difference.
So borderline worst case scenario, how do the Red Sox replace him? Could have been Christian Campbell. They're deciding not to call him up. They called up Nick Sogard instead. who knocked in a run last night.
All right.
But there you go. We'll get more on this from Rob Bradford of WEEI, and Baseball Isn't Boring. I saw he has some nice new apparel there, some new hats that he was handing out.
Oh, he's got new hats?
Yeah, I saw those on socials.
I'll take a lid.
It is Patriots Friday, game one for the New England Patriots Sunday. Curtis, you are on your way to Gillette Stadium. Am I correct about that?
I can't tell you how excited I am to go with our friends at Ketchus Law. James loves a suite, so we'll be heading up there.
Awesome.
And Ken Laird, a guy that at times gets a bad rap. I don't understand it. Got me a parking pass, so it's win-win.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
On the donut. Mm. Cannot wait. I'm thinking the Pats win 31-24.
All right. Well, this week's Cross Insurance Player Spotlight is on Steph Diggs. Last year, Steph Diggs, 47 catches, 496 yards, 3 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see what Steph Diggs is this season for the New England Patriots. And that is this week's Player Spotlight, brought to you by Cross Insurance, official insurance broker of the New England Patriots. And hopefully he's worked everything out with the media. That was your lead yesterday. And
yeah.
Things are going to be peachy between Steph Diggs and the media the whole rest of the way through this.
I think he's going to have a great game on Sunday.
Yeah. Very weird that he had to apologize. I heard Jones and Keith talking about it. They were like me. What are you apologizing for? Like, it just was a weird thing.
I think it was less of an apology and more of like a, I want to have a great working relationship with you guys. Listen, this is how I am. This is how I'm going to be moving forward. I'm not going to be an a-hole. The only apology was, I'm sorry if I've come across that way in the past.
Well, I mean, I think we talked about it yesterday, but I think he had a legit gripe with Phil Perry.
Right.
I think he did not like what Phil Perry had to say, yes.
But Phil Perry apologized for it.
Yes.
Becoming a bit of a pain in the posterior.
So I'm assuming that if he apologized for it,
he said something wrong.
Then the reporting that he was a pain in the posterior was not accurate.
Right.
Right. And so you understand that from a player perspective.
Yeah, I get that, because and then he went into being like, and Jones and Keith made a good point. Like, OK, you went from being like you didn't want to be viewed as a pain in the butt. But then you were like, I don't want to be an a-hole, but like, no one ever called you an a-hole, so why do you have to apologize about being an a-hole? You know what I mean? When it was just like people were like,
I think he was saying if I've been coming off that way. I think he was using a-hole as just like, you know, what you call most people that are difficult. He was saying, if I've ever come across that way, that's not who I want to be with you guys. And if people are going to paint me out to be one in the media, I'm not going to turn into one. Like, it's not going to start his villain era with the Patriots. I know he's had some before.
No, I think this is a great, if it works, it's going to be awesome, because they both need each other almost the same amount. We all agree that Steph Diggs wants to get one more big deal. Mm-hmm. I think that press conference was brilliant on his part to get ahead of any animosity, because Steph Diggs is going to be a free agent next year. And to
no, he's still on the contract.
They're going to, it's a 1-year deal.
Okay, you're saying,
but so the bonuses are going to be dried up, and he's going to get a big deal at the end of the year.
So you're saying they're going to either re him up or they're going to cut him?
If it doesn't work, I don't think he's back next year. And if he has a great year, I mean, maybe they pay him at the top of the market. But either way, I think the Patriots and Diggs need each other, and I think if he's on the field and he's engaged, he's going to be the best player on offense.
Speaking of that, God forbid that we allow sports to get in the way of the news here. My apologies, Corey.
Yes, please.
But the passing report about Bregman.
Oh, that.
He's already, and take it for, you know, for who's saying it and what it's worth, but he's already decided that he's opting out? Like, do you buy that report?
Yes, 100%. Of course he's opting out. Ken said he was opting out when he was hurt. So 5 years, 175 is being, you know, put out there. And so, Greg,
he just said he loves it here.
He has Scott Boris as his agent. You bring in Boris when you want to hit the top of the market. He is the best agent in sports. And when you were saying that they took the money and they extended Roman Anthony, I told you that that money was not impacted by the departure of Devers. The Devers money would be 5 years, 175 for Bregman.
Yeah.
They are in a position, and Boris knows it. If they lose Bregman and he has a decent playoff run, then fans are saying, wait, so you traded Devers and you just swallowed $300 million that you didn't reinvest into the team. So he's in a great position. Don't
just
you think?
Do it now.
I said it
I said it to Breslow 2 months ago. Like, do it now.
Because if that's the number you're looking for,
who cares what the number is? Curtis is right.
Well, no, I'm not.
You're the Boston Red Sox. Sign the guy up. Give him what he wants for 3 years. Do it.
Yeah, because that's what it technically is. Because you already got him on the not on the contract, but you already have 2 years that you'd be willing to give him $40 million per year for the next 2 years. So if you're saying, all right, if you're looking for five, all right, we already got you for two. We'll tack on three, and we'll figure out what that number will be that both sides are happy. And just do that. What are you, 32 years old, and that'll take you to, what's that, 36 or 37 or something like that?
Yeah. Also, like, Boris leaking it right now is dinkish. Like, I mean,
but that's who he is.
I understand, and he's really good at what he does.
Smart, though.
That's the kind of guy
We're making him look smart because we're telling the team they have to sign him. That puts pressure on the organization.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, if I owned a team, I would not enjoy dealing with Scott Boris.
This is Derek from Pepperell. Derek, what's up?
Greg, how are you? I'm a persistent guy. For 4 days, I've been trying with this lead. So now I can actually chime in on that one.
Yeah.
I heard Bregman the other day saying that the chemistry and the guys is like the funnest game. There's no doubt about it, this guy wants to be here. So I don't think this is going to be a big deal. I think everybody heard that. He said it's like literally loves these young guys and what have you.
Yeah.
But Curtis, I have a question. Curtis, I got a question for you. Does this team have a lot of similarities to 21? Because I remember that. I know there was veterans. I know there was some knuckleheads, but the chemistry was great. We've got a lot of younger people. Is there similarities to 21 to now? Because I was at the game Wednesday night. Greg, I asked for you, and the bartender, some guy went looked for you, but he said, no, you're not here. I was up in this schmoozy club that you're always in.
Yeah,
I get to go to those things, too. I'm an insurance guy, you know? But
I don't know, Curtis, is 21 what you compare it to?
No.
I don't think so.
Damn, Scott Boris. Guess how much he makes on Juan Soto's contract?
$38.25 million,
5%.
Oh, 5% of
baseball? He represents 165 different MLB players.
Yeah.
Well, he's not worried. He's definitely not worried about the $82 a month for YouTube TV.
No.
He's Greg, got that unlocked.
Greg, could you imagine if he had met that guy that you could invest in minor leaguers, how much money he'd have?
Yeah, I don't know. 21 kind of came out of nowhere. There were big expectations for this team. Curtis had them winning the World Series. So.
I do. And 21, this team would beat 21, I think.
Right.
I would hope.
You have a 21 didn't have a legit ace. Like, you have a legit ace.
Who has been struggling of late.
Yeah, I mean,
So,
but
yes.
What has it been, two games?
It's kind of like the... It's month forward, if we're being honest.
I don't know about that. I think other than the game where he gave up, what was that, 5-6 runs? I can't remember what that was. He's a legit ace. Right? You hadn't had that 21. You didn't have Chris Sale was not that guy. David Price, was he still here in 2021 or no? All right, so Chris Sale wasn't that guy. I mean, this is like you have a legit ace. Like and it's been a while since you could say that the Red Sox have had that. Curtis, you're the baseball guy. When's the last time you could say the Red Sox had a legit ace?
Chris Sale, that 1 year he was healthy.
Was that 18?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't think you ever – I mean, and before that, it was basically my lifetime was Clemens, Pedro, Schilling, Beckett, Lester, then into
Sale.
Sale.
Mm-hmm.
And who was the opening day starter the other year? It was like, oh, my God, he sucked. 2 years ago, whatever. They've had a cast of losers as their ace before Crochet arrived.
508 texter. See, I don't think you can't blame Bregman for what Scott Boris does, but says, of course, Roman Anthony goes down, and then they take advantage of that.
That's smart. That's a good agent.
It's not on Bregman, like the texter's
pissed. No, that's a good agent. And I think Bregman is probably like, hey, stop putting that word out there right now. Like, that's what you do as a player to your agent. Anything your agent says, usually the player is okaying it because they know, like, the importance of it. So, like, Bregman's on board with Boris maybe leaking stuff out or saying, all right, Roman Anthony's going to be down. This is the perfect time for us to put it out there. Like, so the reason why he's made so much money is because he's a good-ass agent.
And thanks to Mitch, Corey Kluber was the Red Sox opening day starter two years ago. Oh, that is so bad.
Well, we'll see what your guy has tonight. And then,
let's go.
And then maybe you can count on Big Stash.
I'm telling you, if Big Stash can put out outings like this for the remainder of the season, you can go. And if you can go into and if Big Stash does perform well, maybe that goes back to Curtis's point where you can maybe rest Crochet a little bit because you have Big Stash who is pitching well. So you'd have three guys that you can lean on and Giolito, Bayo, and Big Stash and maybe give that extra day to Crochet.
I'm still not sold on Big Stash. I like it.
I mean, that's what I would call him. I'm, you know, the Magnum PIG. I mean, if you like that, that's yours.
You don't like Magnum PIG.
I think that was somebody
who texted in during Jones and Keefe who came up with that.
What's the best Boston sports nickname?
Of all time?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Big Poppy, probably.
I like
one. It's got to be one that sticks.
I like the Truth.
I like the Rocket.
No, the Rocket was good. The Truth, with Paul Pierce, that was a good one.
As a child, mine was Hit Dog. Movon.
Hit Dog, okay. What was Pedroia?
El Caballito, the Little Pony.
Oh, but I thought he had a laser show. He wasn't the...
They did a goof on the TBS broadcaster and gave him a fake nickname, and he used it. It was really funny back in the day. But El Guapo, great one in the
great
Twitch
one.
Chat.
Mm-hmm. Ken likes Baby Pedro.
Does he? Does he ever send that?
He's really trying to make that one stick.
Oh, good point by somebody in Twitch. Oil Can.
Oh, Oil Can Boy.
Yeah. I mean, now we're going way back.
What do you guys think about the package?
Package is a good one.
Oh, and I'm missing my own personal favorite from Free Mandela on the Twitch, Pudge Fisk, the namesake.
White Mamba.
How do you feel about when it comes to tonight? How do you feel about White Mamba? That was pretty. How do you feel about the Tolle collector?
Well, it's kind of outdated.
No, absolutely not.
Jesus, Greg. I mean,
that is horrendous.
You're
throw it at the wall.
Like
Twitch chat. I kind of like that one.
No.
The wall? Twitch chat.
Throw totally it in the trash.
It has meaning
try again.
Here. It has meaning here in this state.
I get it.
Nope.
Because we used to have toll booths. Yeah.
Bad nickname.
Yeah.
Bad one? You don't like that
terrible.
One?
Terrible.
I think the nickname has to speak for itself, and that's the only reason why I go over the big Stash over Magnum PIG, because you have to explain the backstory for Magnum PIG.
Right. With Big Stash, you look at him, the dude is a monster. Yeah. He's like 6'6", 250. He's just giant. And then he's got the, you know, Ron Jeremy, John Holmes, 70 porn star stash going. And he carries it like with that grunt, that look.
What about Wiggy's with the hawk? And I was excited.
A hawk was a good one.
Hog Hannah, John Hannah.
All right.
The great John Hannah.
Okay. The original package.
All right.
Is Edelman the squirrel?
Was he the squirrel?
Yeah. That didn't do anything for him.
You are anti-Edelman right now, and I get it.
Yeah.
He left you on red numerous times.
He really
times.
Did.
He's a big dog now.
He used to be tight. I was there when it mattered. Yeah.
Sometimes he's a big dog, man. He's stomping with the big dogs.
I understand that.
It goes national, but I think it works locally, too, is the hoodie for Bill. I mean, that's not
a hoodie. Oh, yeah.
Hilly. Nope. Appreciate the message, bro.
Stop. Nobody around here called Bill Belichick the hoodie, though.
Right.
I feel like you don't get him in football. You get him in hockey and baseball. I think they're, you know, and a few in basketball. But I feel like most of the people that we're naming are either, you know, baseball guys. Maybe there's, you know, what was Marshan? What was
the
he?
Rat.
But that was the original.
Kenny Linsman was the original.
Yeah,
nose face.
Before your time.
Yeah.
Nose face killer.
Yes, yes, yes.
What about the panda, even though he sucked when he was here and he broke his belt?
So bad.
Yeah, it's so bad.
Oh, Chief? Robert Parrish?
Ooh. Chief? But was the Chief originally, why am I drawing a blank, from the Bruins? Why am I drawing a blank?
Oh, Johnny Busick.
Yeah, was the Chief originally Johnny Busick and then... Robert Parrish, did he have that nickname when he was playing? Johnny Busick.
I don't know.
Okay.
Go ahead. Say, I'm sure you saw him when he began his career,
right.
Greg, but no. Right. Bill Lee, Spaceman, anybody do that?
I feel like it's baseball and hockey that got the good ones. The Rat was a good one, but that was Kenny Linsman.
But then Brad Marchand was
right,
it.
But the originator.
So did he have a different one? Because that's Marchand.
Yeah, but I think
that's the only
I think
one I
yeah,
think
it was Noseface Killer.
Right, and I think the Rat is just like, you know, meaning like the scrappy guy, but it's the original Rat.
Oh, what about Tolly House Cookies?
Oh, I love a good Toll House cookie.
That made me hungry.
Of course it's food related.
Oh, out of their way.
Oh, Friday bagels have arrived. I'm going to go up and grab them.
Excellent.
Time for a break.
Yeah, we can get to the rest of the news coming up.
Whatever you want.
Okay. And weekly wrap up with Acrobatic in half an hour at 8:45. And then Beat the Geek. No offense, Chime.
Not taken.
But
how is this happening? Is she calling, coming in?
Coming in.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah, so I forget how this. I think we were mocking Chime on his sports wagers. And we were suggesting that anybody could beat him. So
I love the picture.
Anybody can pick better than Chime can pick. What are you picking, four games?
Yeah, I think that's what Curtis said, right?
Curtis said,
yep.
Patriots.
Tonight, Pats in the primetime games.
Tonight, Patriots.
Sunday night, Monday night.
Chime, if you lose to her, man, with this picture that she
so, like,
has.
What happens, though, if we have the same picks?
Good point.
Well, I mean, I guess we'll have to have a tiebreaker somehow.
Yeah, we'd have to have a tiebreaker game in there.
You think you're going to have the same picks?
No, I'm just, it's just, I mean, for the future, too. It's not just this week, but any week.
Good point.
I
mean,
I think you need to have kind of like an obscure one that the... That
do we... Do we do like those four games, but then like also we each pick one kind of thing, or that maybe. Way we have a different one, or
maybe
I don't know. Just trying to help.
I say you each guess how many bottle caps there are in a giant container.
Ooh, how many times Taylor Swift is shown at the game?
You could do guess what's in the dumpling, or so.
I'll go pork and cabbage.
Does anybody like veggie dumplings? No. Like, why are those even on menus?
It's a waste of time.
Gross.
You know who has very good dumplings? I know Greg doesn't love the place, but
Dumpling
Trader
King.
No, I was gonna from a grocery store, like frozen. Trader Joe's has very good
soup
dumplings.
Are they pan-fried?
Yeah. They're soup dumplings, but they're pan-fried. Yeah. And you just stick them in the microwave. They're so good. They have chicken. They've got beef.
Can't do microwave with them, though. Like,
no,
if you're
going
to go dumplings, they have to be pan-fried.
I'm telling you, they're so good.
Do they have the little, are they crispy?
Yes.
So okay. I don't think dumplings need to be crispy.
Yeah, see, you're wrong
It depends which kind of dumpling we're doing.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know my dumplings.
Yeah,
how
don't.
Dare you insult me like
any
that?
Any dumpling.
I've eaten more dumplings in a week than you've
just
eaten in your life.
Just because you've eaten a lot of dumplings don't mean you know your dumplings.
Oh, I know my dumplings.
Dumplings should be pan fried. They should have
disagree.
That
not
crisp.
All dumplings made
yes,
the same.
They should.
You're never going to live it down if you lose to today's
That's
influencer.
Fine. I already don't live down the match. Like, this can't be any worse.
No, this will be way worse.
Nah, it can't be.
Look at her picture.
Yeah.
Mama didn't raise no bitch.
I think she's going to crush.
You think she's going to crush?
Yeah.
We'll find out. Yes.
She is awesome food review. Like,
yes.
Restaurant reviews, awesome.
Yep.
The best. So I have something to talk to her about.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Here's Courtney with what is trending right now.
The Christian Arcan Show. Weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Leonard Hair Transplant Associates. The Eagles take the first game of the NFL season, a game it had drama, it had a lightning delay. They beat the Cowboys on home turf 24-20. It was a wild start for this one when the Eagles defensive tackle Jalen Carter was ejected just 6 seconds into the game for spitting on Dak Prescott. Some want to say that Dak spit first. He was spitting at the ground. It was completely different. Jalen Hurts completed 19 of 23 passes for 152 yards, rushing for 2 touchdowns in the win. So now we turn the page to look at the weekend. Tonight it's Chiefs versus Chargers. 8 p.m. kickoff. The Pats kick off the season at home with the Raiders in town. 1 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. We talked to Robert Spillane already this morning. If you missed that, go back on the Odyssey app to give that a go. And before that, in college around here, UMass has Bryant at home at 3:30, and BC is in Michigan to take on Michigan State at 7:30. The Red Sox back in action tonight in Arizona at 9:40 first pitch with Peyton Tolley taking the mound. Lenny DiNardo joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 8:40 for the MassMutual pregame show. And that was brought to you by Dr. Matthew Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor of Dave Portnoy and Wes Welker. Call 1-800-GET-HAIR for your free hair loss consultation. That is what's trending. The rest of the news coming up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.